You recently said that you want to see at least six consecutive data points of a downward trend in testing results before you'll feel that this area is past the worst. Does that mean no new cases over 6 days or a decline in the number of positives?
So the conversations that we've had internally is really just a decline in cases. If you continue to see your epi curve go down, that's a good indication that you're headed in the right direction. And the six data points really is just speaking to what we consider a statistical trend. So whether that's the magic number, that's not a hard and fast time frame. I know I've heard different things, whether it's 2 weeks, the president and the governor have said they're kind of looking for a 2 week time frame. And so we're definitely going to have those internal conversations, and that's a bigger decision made with city management and local leaders and elected officials. So that's part of a big decision. But statistically speaking, we consider something a trend if it's six data points in a row and it's a good sign.
So let's talk about the reporting. City officials have said from the beginning that they want to be transparent, and this is a really unprecedented kind of situation for everyone that's trying to work on it. You guys have changed the reporting several times. Initially, there was a separation from Abimar's numbers from the overall total, then they were added back in with an asterisk. There was a time where there were percentages, and now it's returned to straight numbers. What do you feel like you've learned over the past month about how to give the public the information that it wants?
Yeah, that's been kind of a tricky thing. And I know I've gotten the question over and over again. It's just math. How hard is it to add up? But on the back end, you've got all these moving pieces that you have to try to reconcile. So, for instance, with the MR case specifically, the testing site was kind of gathering all the data. They're receiving not only Abimar results, but they're receiving just the regular community results. Well, the lab isn't separating all that out. So what they had to do was take a roster of the Abimar employees and compare it to who they had tested and try to reconcile all of that and report it. When it comes over to us, we're also trying to figure out who's an Abimar, who's being reported in terms of like the Abimar number. These are our regular results. And so in an effort, city management had decided that in an effort to be completely transparent, they wanted to report those separately. Well, logistically, it ended up being very difficult to manage because you've got to try to separate out all these reports and reconcile them to master spreadsheets. With that many cases coming in all at once, it was a little bit of a nightmare. And so we tried to talk about, well, what's easier? Is it easier to report a statistic? And that way, if you've got, for instance, one of the situations was when these people were coming in specifically from Abimar over to Abilene Diagnostic, they were bringing family members or close associates. And so Abilene Diagnostic was recording them as an Abimar employee. Well, they weren't technically an employee, but they were being recorded as that on the Abilene Diagnostic side. And so that was a little bit of the back and forth, like, no, it wasn't this number, it was actually this number, because once you reconciled everything, it kind of came out. So it's not just simple math. I would like people to understand that. It's a very tangled web of trying to reconcile numbers and spreadsheets and making sure formulas work. And of course, there's human error. These are data entry people who are entering data entry into a spreadsheet that's very cumbersome. And so if you enter a space bar after entering in that they're negative, it's the formula is not going to work and it won't add it into the total number. So you've just got little things like that. That's it's very intricate.
So last week we found out that more than a dozen people on the front lines with the fire department and the city have been infected with the coronavirus. You yourself came down with it. Were you surprised that the protective measures that are in place weren't enough, or do you think that people might not have been being careful with them?
So I've said over and over in many of the interviews that we are all at risk if we're continuing to have to report to work, and many of us are, we're all at risk. And, you know, we had done everything we could, or we felt like we could, at the health department. We were screening employees every day as they come in for work. And, you know, we were limiting our meetings. We were trying to do as much as we could from offices and on phones and by Zoom. But, you know, we were all still reporting to work. And so I think it's been interesting to kind of experience it firsthand, just because for me personally, it was literally one evening, I've felt a slight headache, which has not been uncommon. This has been a pretty stressful time. A very slight headache and a very minor runny nose. And so I thought, well, that's interesting, but I'll see how I feel in the morning, and got up and took my temperature. I did not have a temperature, but the congestion was a little worse. And so I put my mask on and thought that I'll continue to monitor this and make sure that it's not getting any worse. And by the time I showed up to work, I had taken my temperature at 6 a.m. and did not have a temperature. By the time I showed up to work, I registered a temperature when she took my temperature, and I immediately turned around and went home and got tested that day and was positive. So it's very sneaky. It seemed very minor symptoms, but of course, you know, I wanted to be responsible and make sure that I wasn't the carrier. And of course, as soon as I tested positive, we immediately acted to send everybody home and assess who all had minor symptoms, and we kind of went from there.
Now, Abimar tested everybody. Did you test everybody in your office?
We were not testing everybody. So there's a group that had been mostly teleworking. And so we did assess everybody for symptoms. And if they had even minor symptoms, we decided to test them. And then, of course, everybody that all of us had been in contact with, there was an immediate, you know, assessing of their symptoms. And that's kind of how it grew. Some of us who have been working together on COVID response, you know, that's how it kind of grew to further out into the emergency management team and the fire department team.
And I know City Manager Robert Hanna is isolated. Have he or Mayor Williams been tested?
So I don't want to speak to other people's personal health information. I've chosen to reveal mine just because I'm fine with that. And as I said, I think it's important for people to know that it's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. We're all at risk, and we may all eventually get it at some point. But I don't want to speak to anybody else's personal information. That would be up to them to reveal kind of their journey.
Okay. In the conference call with the press briefing, I mentioned the patient that I got to interview recently and how he believed his wife and daughter had the coronavirus as well, and a fellow worker that he thinks he may have picked it up from. And at the time, he described them as presumed positive. Is there a tracking of presumed positive cases?
So we don't track presumed positives in our official number, because those are all test confirmed. And so with a presumed positive, in the situations that we've kind of used that criteria, where it just made the most sense to do that, we will still kind of assess symptoms, make sure that they understand what they can and cannot do, how long they need to isolate, and that kind of thing. But we don't count that in our official number.
So as a health professional, you kind of understand these numbers and you're used to looking at numbers a lot more than the rest of us. I'm curious of what your perspective on this is, because we're not testing everyone, and you're describing presumed positive cases that we're not tracking. I mean, does this look like for every one actual positive result, you think there may be several more that we don't know about?
Oh, I'm sure there's lots that we don't know about. And as I mentioned, kind of within our own staff, realizing just how minor some of the symptoms were, it's nothing in a normal situation we would have ever gone to the doctor for or excluded ourselves from work based on something so minor. And so having that firsthand experience, you kind of think about just the general community, if they're not being hypersensitive to, oh, maybe that's something I should go ahead and stay home because I had that little runny nose. There's lots of people who are probably carriers and just do not know it. They continue to go about their day. So I'm positive that there are many more out in the community that don't feel like they need to be tested, don't feel sick, that are actually carrying.
We've heard Governor Abbott announce that the National Guard is conducting drive-through testing at certain areas around the state, sending large numbers of testing kits to major metro areas. Do you feel like Abilene has enough tests, or that Abilene's on the governor's radar?
Well, I know that we have made the official request to bring that service to Abilene, and we're still waiting to hear whether or not that will definitely happen. We're kind of making plans to figure out where we could, what site we could use. We've gotten some different people on board, and so we're kind of prepping in hopes that we will get that service. But I do know that they've tended to focus on, or what this effort really is about, is going to a lot of the rural areas that don't have resources. And so they're trying to focus the assets in those areas. But they are also kind of identifying places with different outbreaks. And as I said, we've made the request officially through our emergency manager, Vincent Cantu, and he's placed that request, and we're just in a holding pattern to see whether it's approved.
We have some fairly strict guidelines about who can and can't have a test, and that makes me wonder if we have enough.
So I'll say we definitely don't have enough, and we do have to try to be prudent with how we screen people to get testing. Ideally, you'd have enough tests to be able to just kind of screen. If you're looking at an entire population, kind of like something Abimar did, that's ideal, because then you can truly understand what the impact has been. On the flip side of that is that's only a snapshot in time. You tested on, say, 1 or 2 days, you've got basically a picture of what's happening at that moment. The situation changes every single day, and so you still have to continue with your screening processes and kind of the measures that we've put in place with social distancing and limiting your outings to only essential activities and things like that, that those are still our best tools. And I think that people kind of assume that testing is the magic key. But again, you're really only looking at a very small snapshot in time, and it could change daily.
So I know that we're sneaking up on the end of the limited shelter-in-place order on the 30th. If the mayor were asking you, or if Governor Abbott were asking you, whether Abilene is ready to start lifting some restrictions, what would your advice be?
That's really a hard question, because I know that overall, in terms of physical health and financial viability and financial health of a community, all of those things are very important to families. And so it's not a one-sided conversation. And I do get that, but our trend is still continuing upwards. And until we kind of see a leveling off and maybe a trend downward, I don't think that I feel confident yet, not saying that that's not going to happen, you know, whether it's a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I don't know. And I don't think anybody really truly knows at this point, because all we have are data points that continue to trend upwards. So until that time, until we start leveling off and trending downwards, I don't think I feel completely comfortable, but there are safe ways that you can go about trying to be as prudent as you can. And so those are just bigger conversations that have to happen amongst not only healthcare, but also leadership and everybody looking at it. There's a healthy tension that kind of the pull back and forth is good. And those discussions are happening.